G'day everybody, welcome back to the Botanical Creative, and I'm joined by Bonnie Murray.
Hello.
And myself. And today's topic is edible gardens, which will be very interesting because I don't know too much about that one. And that's why I've got you here, Bonnie.
Yeah.
So you can tell me all about it and our listeners as well.
So what do you want to know, Ali?
Yeah, so I guess basics first. So what is an edible garden exactly? I mean, obviously you can eat it, but...
the pots are included.
Oh, bit crunchy.
No, an edible garden is essentially a garden that contains produce or anything that will produce anything that you can eat.
Anything that's edible.
So it can be, you know, raised garden beds down to a simple pot with one fruit tree growing in it. Okay. That's an edible garden.
Yeah.
But there's a few different styles that you can go with. One that I actually really like, which I'm actually going to quickly look up how to pronounce because I feel like I'm going to say it wrong. And it's a French style of garden.
Okay.
It's a potager.
Ooh.
P-O-T-A-G-E-R. Potager.
I don't speak French. Parlez-vous français?
Anyway, the idea of this style of edible garden I really like because it's a bit more decorative than just having a few pot plants and your raised garden beds around.
Okay.
The idea is that you design this garden with the same philosophy as a ornamental garden. So you include flowers that might not necessarily be 100% edible, but they bring in bees for pollination.
Okay, so it's like a little ecosystem in a way.
Yeah, and then you might have like a focal point to these gardens, so a lot of these gardens, you'll find they're graveled and they have raised beds and then they might have quite an architectural piece in the centre. So whether that be a statue or a tree and then you build...
Or a fountain.
Or a fountain. Yes, a fountain. And then they build, you know, their design off it. So there's a main structural point and then you fill in the gaps with all your edible plants and then you underfill with your flowers. So there's a bit more going on than just straight rows of veggies and things like that in more traditional, I'd say, English-style gardening for veggie gardens.
Yeah.
But yeah, so an edible garden essentially is a garden that contains something that you can harvest from or will produce.
And then obviously with the end result of using it in your own food and cooking and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a number of benefits to having an edible garden. So, like, obviously if you're passionate about plants and being outside, obviously you're going to enjoy it. So there's the, you know, that sort of factor to it, and it's good for your mental health because you'll, you know, see how things grow and you can get outdoors away from technology because sometimes technology can be a bit intense for people. Also, it's good for your, you know, your body. You're working your body by turning over the soil, you're digging, you're exercising. So, you know, it's good to do that.
Build your muscles.
Build your muscles, definitely. Build those leg muscles. And then, you know, fresh food. You're going to get fresh food out of your own garden. You're going to understand how it grows and you know what's going into it. And there's no chemicals if you're growing organically, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Everyone loves natural food.
Yeah,
and I think understanding where it's coming from as well.
I think being organic is a really important thing. And I think in hand with that sustainability, trying to be sustainable about how you produce your plants and, you know, with whether you produce annual vegetables and then you harvest the seed and then you use that seed next year. So you're reusing what you have in your garden.
Bit of reuse, recycle, that
kind of thing. Yeah, you know, like using old pots, like things that you've purchased plants in and reusing them to sow your seeds or grow your actual plants in, you know, that way you can be a bit more sensible with plastic in the garden and things like that. Or you can make your own pots out of newspaper and you grow your little seedlings in and then you plant them out once they start forming their roots.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, so being organic and wise with your food and knowing how you've grown it and the appreciation it brings as well.
Yeah.
But the benefit of an edible garden, like, it's not limited to, you know, you don't have to have a massive space. Sort of, as we mentioned, like, you can grow things in pots. So you can grow, like, dwarf fruit now in, you know, 20 centimeter to 30 centimeter pots.
So they're more suited to, like, a smaller area.
Yeah, so if you've got dwarf eggplants and capsicums that will grow comfortably in a pot. And
do they grow as normal size or is it just the plant that's small?
The plant is small but the fruit will be normal. But then you've got, like, those snack bite size capsicums and things like that that you can grow as well.
You can grow even dwarf fruit trees in pots. So you can get, there's a ballerina range of apples, and they grow 3 meters high, but they're only half a meter wide.
Okay.
So they're very columnesque, so they're really good for pots.
Pretty compact.
Yeah. So you can grow them in pots, so about a 40 to 50 centimeter pot. But then you've also got vertical growing space, sort of like what we touched on in those food forests.
Yeah.
You grow, your beans and your snow peas in pots up vertical trellis, and then you might have like herbs planted at the base, so you're making the most of your space. So you don't have to have a large garden to be able to have an edible garden. You can have a few pots on a balcony or...
Or even a single pot. Or
yep.
A little herb garden going on.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, that's the basics of an edible garden. In terms of, like, what's best to be successful.
Like the basics on how to get it started.
You really need a spot that's got good amount of sun. Because anything that you're going to produce with fruit is going to need sunlight to produce the sugars in the fruit and to help them ripen and one to even help the plants produce flowers or form flowers that will lead to the fruit.
What about herbs? They need...
Some herbs can do better in shade, so things like basil is really good in shade.
Yeah.
I find that does better than it does in full sun, because full sun, it seems to burn a bit in our summers, because we've got a dry summer.
Yeah.
But they're an annual, so they'll die in the winter, so they won't survive the winter in Melbourne. But more subtropical, they will. Things like coriander and dill, you can grow in a little bit more of a shady spot, but you've got to be more careful with watering, not too much water.
Yeah, so you don't drown them,
rot them. But, yeah, so your shade is, your position's really important. And then your soil, so if you're growing pots, you got to use a premium potting mix. Don't use cheap stuff. It's nasty. It doesn't have anything good in it.
It just makes your plants not happy.
Well, it doesn't have any nutrient value in it, and it's got no fertilizer. It's got no, like, water retention abilities in it. It's literally just... dusty soil that has no nutrition at all. So definitely get premium mixes if you're going to...
So it just would say premium on it.
So yeah, usually they're premium, but the way to tell is a lot of potting mixes, on the bag, there'll be a little section where it's a red box with white ticks in it, and it's the Australian standards. So it means it's, one, safe for you when you're opening that bag.
Yes.
There's
no bad things in it.
No, but whenever you open a bag of soil, if it's been baking for a while on a pallet,
just don't sniff it.
No, don't sniff it. So just open it and let it air for 10 minutes or so, and then go ahead and start using it. But they're safe. They've gone through all the right processes. Half the time it means they've hit organic standards and things like that, and they've got the right type of feeds in them for plants to grow. So your soil's really important when you're growing produce. But then if you're planting in open soil out in the garden, compost. What's my favourite word, Ellie, that we say on the show?
Compost?
Humus-rich soil.
Oh, yes.
But no, having a good amount of compost in the soil will help too. So something that's nice and rich and fertile and friable as well.
And what?
Friable.
Friable?
Meaning not compacted.
Okay.
So it's nice and friable.
Friable.
But yeah, so friable soil, because it means that the roots will establish easier into that soil. So that's also important if you're establishing an edible garden. What else is important? I guess there's also knowing what you want to grow, because there's no point growing food that you're not going to eat.
Yeah. It's wasteful. So what would you kind of recommend to someone starting out their own edible garden?
The way I started with mine, I wrote a list down of... like the top 5 to 6 plants that I would eat in that growing season. So you've got 2 different growing seasons. You've got sort of autumn and winter, and then you've got your spring and summer. So your autumn and winter are your brassicas. So they're your capsicums, broccolis, Brussels sprouts, kale. You also plant garlic and potatoes coming into sort of late autumn or sort of mid to late autumn.
Yeah.
So I wrote down a list of the things that I would like to be harvesting in winter or late winter to be eating from my garden, because there's been countless times where I've been excited and I've grown too much stuff and then it all goes in the bin because I haven't quite got a compost heap at my place. It's wasted. So
definitely don't want to
waste
it when you've gone to the
if you do find yourself in that way, you can obviously give it to your neighbors or the local school, but
Yeah, donate it.
Yeah, that's what I was planning on doing, but with COVID it became a bit harder to do, so... But
Or even take it to markets, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you can sell at markets and things like that, but... So I'd say plan what you're wanting to grow for each season and don't be tempted to overgrow too many things.
So start small and then build it from there.
Sort of learn what you like and what you're good at growing, because some veggies... You just can't grow, you know.
What are the easiest ones
that you recommend? For autumn season, definitely broccoli. Kale is extremely easy.
What about garlic?
Garlic is super easy.
You just plant it.
I planted garlic last year, and I accidentally planted it late, so I planted it in winter, like July, really, really late, like 3 months late. You're meant to plant it now in autumn because there's enough warmth in the soil for those cloves to form roots so that they don't rot in the winter.
Yeah.
So that they can sustain themselves in that soil. So you plant them now and then you give them one initial watering and that's it. You don't do any more water until you see shoots emerge in September.
Yeah.
And then they pretty much take care of themselves. And then you harvest them in around about, I'd say, mid to late November. From one clove, you'll end up with a full bulb clove like you buy at the supermarket.
Yeah. And then you can replant those individual ones.
Yeah, so I've got, I think I planted probably like 20 or 30 cloves, and as a result, I've got a few hundred now. So I've probably got maybe 200 to 300 cloves. So they're
in the garden currently?
They're all in my shed dried. So I'm debating if
you have a lot of garlic.
Yeah, I'm debating if I bother replanting them or not because I don't know if I need any more next year.
Maybe you need to go to the market.
Yeah, but no, garlic is a really easy one if people are interested in growing that. Yeah. Same with potatoes, but you need a fair bit of space for your potatoes in your edible gardens. What else is easy? Cauliflower is easy, but it's a long, long wait.
Is it?
So you plant it and you're probably looking at... I reckon about 2 to 3 months before you actually harvest anything.
Yeah.
It's a slow growing one, but it is a good one. Mm. And you usually only get one cauliflower, you only get one from one plant.
Yeah.
So if you're wanting multiple throughout the season, you need to stagger your batches. So you might plant some now and then you might plant some in another 2 weeks. So you've got 2 week intervals of when you come
to the time of harvest. Okay, so staggering your planting.
Mm.
Are there any others that you would do that for?
Well, things like Brussels sprouts, they should have been planted maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's getting a bit late to plant them now because they also take a long time to form.
Yeah.
So they're another...
It would be too cold by the time they're kind of developing.
Yeah, so there's about sort of 3 to 4 month wait on that crop. You also plant onions now because you harvest them in November.
Yeah.
So they have to be planted now for a late season or true season harvest. And then... what else is there? What else is going to take a while? Oh, cabbage. Cabbage is similar to cauliflower.
Yeah.
Usually one per plant and, a 3 to 4 month wait until you can harvest it. So brassicas are slow, but that's because the season that they're growing in is traditionally slow.
Yeah.
And you can't really grow them in the summer because instead of producing their heads, they'll go straight to seed. So you don't ever actually get the cauliflower head or the broccoli head.
Okay.
Yeah. But what else can you grow? And there's just herbs mainly at this time of year.
Yeah. Whereas so you would plant your herbs now, would you?
Yeah, with most herbs you can plant all year round. The only ones is the basil, coriander and dill I'd sort of leave
now. Leave until after winter.
Until spring, yeah.
Yeah.
But so edible gardens. Yeah.
Have you been to any edible gardens at all in your travels?
I've been to a few in Victoria. Some really good ones that you can go see quite actively throughout the year because they are also a nursery is the Diggers Club down in Germana. They've got quite a pretty little edible garden.
Yeah.
It's done in a more ornate fashion, so there's a bit of a design aesthetic to it. So
similar to that.
Portugier.
That French word.
But the way they do it, they'll use like green and red lettuce and they'll make patterns in their garden beds. So
they're, okay.
So you know, it's decorative but also it's got a purpose.
So functional.
Mm. Yeah. But that's a really good one that a lot of people can go see, and I think they've also got another one in Cloud Hill.
Oh, yeah.
That one is quite good as well. in terms of like private gardens, a lot of them aren't open anymore due to COVID. So
yeah,
which is a shame. But and then there's been some good ones over in Japan, surprisingly, that we've come across. Not many, but just a few.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, sounds good.
Have you ever tried growing anything, Ellie?
Haven't really had the time or the space
yeah.
to do it. I mean, a few flowers here and there, but not anything edible.
Didn't you grow a pea up in an alpine cabin?
So we tried to grow some peas, but then we went away for a while and the peas did not do so well. So, yes. You definitely need to look after them.
Yeah, no. That's the only thing when you're growing veggies or produce, especially annuals, annual produce, it is high. I'd say it is high maintenance. Like, it's a lot of feeding, a lot of watering, and a lot of caring for to make sure that they actually produce. Whereas, like, growing fruit trees and that, it's a much, much, much easier. Less maintenance involved.
I guess they're a bit slower growing as well.
Yeah, and they don't require as frequent feeding. Like, if you're growing, like, your capsicums and your tomatoes and things like that, you're feeding, traditionally, you should be feeding every 2 weeks.
And what do you feed them?
So you can use liquid. I like to use Grow Better, organic fertilizer. That's really good. That's a pellet form. Otherwise, yeah, Ellie Jane's doing this movement.
Grow Better!
Yeah! But Grow Better and also Troforte, which I think they also supply. So, but that is also another really good fertilizer I use. So it's those two.
Okay.
And you can get Troforte in a liquid form too, actually. So
makes it easier to apply.
Mm. And then the classic Blood and Bone, that's really good stuff too for produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Keep your garden going.
Mm. Keep it flourishing.
Yeah.
Ellie Jane's doing a dance move and I don't know what it means. Ellie Jane's like, grow, grow, grow. She's typing me a note. Where are you typing? Where are you? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did forget about this. She's giving me a really disappointed look. So Ellie Jane, to incorporate some art into edible gardening... If you harvest seed, you can do something quite interesting with that seed.
Yes, Bonnie.
I'm trying to segue for you. Seed paper.
Yes.
Tell us about seed paper.
So it's, as the name says, you got the seeds in your paper.
But you've made it before, right?
Well, I haven't made it, but I'd like to make it. So I've made paper.
Do you know the process on how to make it?
I just put seeds in your little bits of paper and as you make it kind of thing.
So wait. So
it's I mean, it'll be a bit more technical than
that. I was
about
to say, it's not that simple, is it? So you'd
no,
be
making... I haven't made it, but...
You'd be making the... Is it called paper mache?
No, but it's a similar process when you actually make your own paper. You get like... I don't know what they call it. It's like a frame. And then you get your paper pulp... with your water and then glue to stick it together. And then there would, along the process, you'd be putting your seeds in the paper. So the end result, essentially, is you have paper that, you know, can be planted. Mm.
Which is a cool concept because you could do gift cards or little tags and things like that.
Yeah, so I've done on some handmade seed paper... some artworks and things like that. Just some little ones of herbs like basil and parsley and oregano.
So they're lino prints onto paper?
Yeah, lino prints. Yeah. Mm. So I've done some lino prints because you don't really want to do any, maybe not watercolour on it because you're adding water already.
Well, that's very true. Then you might have seed sprouting through the paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a tree. Mm. Can I plant it on this paper?
So I've done gift tags and some cards.
Hmm.
Which you can, you know, pretty much give to someone.
Hmm.
And they can, rather than just chucking it out after a while, they can plant it and actually get something out of it.
Hmm. It's a really cool concept.
Yeah.
And it's good about reusing and, you know, taking things from
and
your
it's
garden.
Natural as well. Like, it's handmade recycled paper. So, and you're using seeds and then you can make, someone can make their own edible garden pretty much out of it.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. Because they've got things like seed tape.
Seed tape.
Yeah, so instead of buying loose seed in a packet, for people who want to grow a bit more precisely by the planting distance with the seeds, right?
Yeah.
You can buy seed tape where they're pre-spaced in a roll, and then all you have to do is roll it out and then bury it, and then they grow in, like...
Sticky tape with dirt.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, they grow and sprout at, like, anywhere from, like, 2 to 3 inches already done for you, so you don't ever have to thin your seedlings out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm.
Seed tape.
Seed tape.
Look it up. Check it out. Mm. Yeah. Are there any other seed-related things in the world of gardening?
Is there seedy things? No, I don't think so, is there?
Seed paper and seed tape. Check it out.
No, I'd say the seed tape is probably the most...
Yeah.
Cool thing. There's seed bombs.
Seed bombs, what are they?
Where people make, they grab a whole bunch of wildflower seeds. It's not quite edible gardening, but you could do edible flowers. But you get, grab all your seeds and you get like a clay mud mixture and you put it in a bowl. You wet the soil till it's muddy and then you mix your seed in. Then you make like bath bombs, essentially, like the shape of a bath bomb and the size of a bath bomb. Set them aside to dry. And then the idea is you throw them out in your garden on a lawned area, and when the rain gets them and they, when they hit on impact, the idea is that they're meant to break apart, and then that's how you create like a meadow effect.
It's like wild
seed planting.
Seed bomb your lawn.
And there's also a name for it where you throw potatoes out on your lawn, and wherever a potato lands, that's where you plant a bulb. If you want, like, a sporadic meadow effect. I know, it's so weird, but it's not quite edible gardening. But...
potato bulb planting.
Yeah, potato bulb planting.
Or sounds like bombing. A new version of bocce. Yeah. Lawn bulbs.
Yeah.
Chuck some for gardeners only.
Yeah. Well, I think we've hit the mark, Ellie.
Yes. Good conversation.
Edible gardening. Hope you're
inspired to create your own edible gardens.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun growing your own produce and then seeing it grow from a seed into a plant that will produce for you. It's quite rewarding. So
yeah, let us know what's in your edible garden or if you're planting one.
That
would be good to find out.
Well, until next time, we will see you then.
Yes. Adios.